Praise the Lord. Amen. Bill Winston, partner meeting. Howdy, partner. Amen. Well, I have on the agenda here first start with a video, and this video is kind of a history of Bill Winston Ministries. So if you could go ahead and run that video, please. Thank you.
Bill Winston Ministries presents. Born in Tuskegee, Alabama, Bill credits the strong community and spiritual influences that surrounded him while growing up. As a young boy, he was influenced by the courageous examples and historic aviation accomplishments of the Tuskegee Airmen. As a young man, he attended the internationally known Tuskegee Institute, now Tuskegee University, where the spirit of invention and leadership permeated the environment. After graduating from Tuskegee Institute, Bill served for 6 years as a fighter pilot in the United States Air Force. His extraordinary achievement in aerial flight earned him the Distinguished Flying Cross, the Air Medal for Performance in Combat, and Squadron Top Gun Pilot competitions. Dr. Winston was called into the ministry full-time by God while working as a regional marketing manager at a major software company. In November of 1988, the Winston family moved from Minnesota to Oak Park with only $200 in their pocket. They did not look back, but pressed forward with the word of God deep in their hearts. A dear sister in Christ was led to open her home to the Winston family in December of 1988. After a series of Chicago Faith seminars held at the Quality Inn Hotel near downtown Chicago, God directed Dr. Winston to start Living Word Church of Chicago. Dr. Winston had his first church on Lake and Pulaski, a one-room storefront. Though he was a full-time pastor, he also served as cleanup crew, praise and worship leader, and Sunday school superintendent. His wife, Dr. Veronica Winston, served as musician, secretary, and bookkeeper. In July of 1990, they held their first service at 7306 West Madison Street. In 1991, the church name was changed to Living Word Christian Center. Along with the name change, Dr. Winston announced the new vision, which was a missions center, broadcast media center, and fitness center. On December 25th, 1994, they started holding services at the Shea Rue Banquet Hall in Forest Park, Illinois. Due to the church's continued growth, 3 services were held. Dr. Winston's faith was truly stretched when God told him to announce to the congregation that they would be moving into the Forest Park Mall by the end of 1997. Though Dr. Winston faced many obstacles, he stood consistently on God's word. On December 31st, 1997, the church purchased the Forest Park Mall and held their first service on New Year's Eve. Since then, the church has grown to over 15,000 members. The mall has been built out, the front part of the mall being retail, including stores like Kmart, Country Buffet, A.J. Wright, and our very own clothing and bookstore, David Samuel and the Royal Christian Bookstore. The back part of the mall houses the church facility, seating over 3,500 people, the Joseph School of Business, the School of Ministry and Mission, state-of-the-art office space, Broadcast Media Center, which produces the Believer's Walk of Faith television program, seen on Daystar, BET, and Fox 32, just to name a few. And the radio program, heard on stations such as WBIL, WYLL, and WGRB. The ministry currently has satellite churches, Tuskegee, Alabama, Hyderabad, India, and Africa, and owns and operates a number of properties. The ministry also has its own school, LWCA, from pre-K to 8th grade, and is planning to open Covenant Bank by the end of the year. Dr. Winston also announced the vision God has given him to open a water plant, which is underway, to have on site LWCA, a military high school, and a medical and dental facility with staff. God continues to confirm the word preached by Dr. Winston with signs and wonders, and place the ministry he's given Dr. Winston on the cutting edge. The mission of Living Word Christian Center is to empower believers through teaching, preaching, and demonstration of the uncompromised word of God to fulfill their highest calling and to change this world through Jesus Christ.
It's always good to look back at your life and see what you did. Sometimes you came through some of those valleys that you don't want to even remember. Well, we came here, and certainly God has done a good work in us and relatively quick work. And one of the reasons why we're able to do what we've done and doing what we're doing right now is because of something called partnership. People who have invested in us, who believed in us, and were willing to get on board and see what God would do through us. And we've had just a good time, a fun time doing it. And one of the people that, of course, has held up my right hand here has been my wonderful wife, Sister Veronica. If I can get that microphone, I'll have her to say just a few words.
Thank you, dear. Good morning, partners.
Good morning.
The one thing that I'd like to share with you today, again, we are very appreciative that you followed the voice of God and that you could connect to the vision that God has given my husband. Though our beginnings were small, we did believe at our latter end we would greatly increase. And only God knew how far and how wide and how deep the ministry would stretch. And somehow we still feel that we're just on the foundational level of what God can do. But it just goes to show you that when God does give you vision, whether it be for ministry on the priest side or whether it be in business on the king side, that all God needs for you to do is to take the seed of that vision and to grow it. Because we're in the kingdom of God, that God is in the business of multiplying seed sown. And what you're sitting in and what you're looking around and witnessing and experiencing and watching on the television and hearing on the radio, that's a manifestation of seed that has been sown and harvest that has grown up. And so I just want to thank you for believing in the man of God. And I just want to encourage you that whatever your dream is and whatever your vision is, whatever your part is in the kingdom, just know that according to your faith, so be it done unto thee. And so we really desire to bring you the best of what God has, to really impart unto you encouragement and strength and to be able to keep you grounded even in those times of storm, that because your foundation is sure, there is no storm of life that can ever make you fall. And it's at times like these when we're able to look back and see where the Lord has brought us that we're able to celebrate together. And many times I think about when, and Sister Gloria preached about that, thinking about the rapture and just wanting to go up and to be here long enough just to go up in the rapture, just thinking we're going to look back and we're going to see how we continue to believe and we continue to stand strong. And even though we may have grown weary, we continue to move forward and we stretched out on our faith. And when we didn't know exactly what it was going to look like, but we just trusted, we heard God and took that step. Our first location at Lake and Pulaski in Chicago, it was a very, very impoverished area. And in the natural, there's no way we could have gotten there in the natural because the natural mind would not lead you there. But the doors that God opened in the spirit, those are the doors that we walk through. And we knew and we understand that that was just our beginning, but that was not where we were going to end up. But I just thank God for a man who had vision enough and who had the tenacity enough and the commitment enough to believe in you, to believe that if he stepped out and if he went, the people would come. And if he would continue to remain faithful to God, faithful to his wife, faithful to his family, that a faithful man would abound in blessing. This is a good man that God brought us together. I used my faith to get this man. Hallelujah. I didn't know much about faith at all, But I knew this was when I'm almost done. I knew that it's an important decision when you decide, who am I going to spend the rest of my life with? But I used faith, and I just believed God, and I just spoke it, and somehow, because I knew I was leaving it in God's hands, I was just excited to see what God would do. And so your future is in your heart. The kingdom of God is within you. And all of the resources of heaven are in that kingdom that is on the inside of you. So I just want to encourage you, as you hear, continue to press and continue to pursue and continue to encourage one another and hold one another up. Because it's the times of victory that you can just look back and you can say, you know, I didn't know I had it in me. But when I was weak, then was I strong. We thank God for you. God bless you.
You know, God spoke to me some years ago and talked about what it would take to be successful in ministry. And one of the things he said, and I was talking to God about church growth, because I was concerned about that. You know, these pastors have these things called church growth meetings, you know, and you get all these ideas and so forth, and, you know, none of them work. And but anyway, because they worked, they'd be still growing. And so he talked to me about it. I said, well, Lord, what does it take? He said, first, it takes preaching the word, that you've got to get in that, get time, get along with God, get a word that can bring a revelation to the people, that they can see something that they didn't see before. That's what it takes. And then he said, also, it takes a facility. You have to have a facility that is adequate enough that people would want to come to that facility. And then thirdly, he said, it would take a testimony. It would take people who heard your word, and once they did it, it worked. And he said that those three combinations just cycle around all the time, cycle around. Because if you look in the Bible, you'll see in more than one place, Jesus told him, he said, now, you got healed, but don't tell nobody. Oh, I'm telling you, that's like saying sick them to a bulldog. They jumped right on that thing. They went out and told everybody about it. And it's the same thing about your life. When God really does something in your life, phenomenal, something that is absolutely supernatural in your life, do you know you can't keep your mouth shut? And do you know he wants to do things like that for you all the time? Why? He wants to just keep that excitement bubbling within us. So that's what I do. He said, train him up and send him out. Try to give him the word of God, give him the sufficient amount of word of God so that when they go out, they'll say, hey, I believe this is real. I'm going out to do, I'm gonna do this. And when they do it, something happens. And when it does, they go back and tell somebody. So one of the things that we'd like for the partners to do, of course, as you are acting on that word and God is doing things for you, make sure you write us back, call us back or something. Drop us a line, let us know. Because that encourages our prayer team that's praying for you. That encourages you, you know, and I'd like to put up a whole victory board. And on this victory board, I'd have all these victories that people call in about because they acted on the word of God and it paid off for them. So, you know, maybe a little picture of you with that victory, you know? I mean, just a little testimony written up. So that's one of the things I'd like to do. Hallelujah. So if God speaks and says the same, you can do that. Partner testimonies. I've got some here on video. I guess we got one or two or three, and maybe we could show those now, if you will.
At the point of meeting Pastor Winston, I had a tragedy to take place in my life. The enemy came and through the cancer disease attacked my first wife. and she decided to go to be with the Lord. And shortly after, I came in contact with Bill Winston's ministries. And I came as a broken person, just needing restoration and needing help and getting back to my wealthy place. And I came into this ministry. Crosby Harris helped me along. And from that point, restoration began to take place. The mantle of God's anointing that's on Bill Winston got on me. A very fortunate thing. And I met my wife, Tracy, who I've been married to going on 5 years now, right here, a student of intercessory prayer, a prayer warrior. And God, I did not come for a wife, but God divinely hooked this thing up. It was, in fact, I thought that I possibly would go up to be an evangelist out on the mission field somewhere. I never really had any thought or purpose in my heart to be here at that time for marriage. But through this ministry, he had been raising up an angel for me. And so God divinely put us together, and that has been the turnaround of my life. I knew God said that was my wife. 5 years later, we have a ministry that is growing in control, but just it's just growing. And everything in our lives is the anointing of God as I've tapped into this ministry in Bill Winston's life.
When we first came in contact with him, it was at a Kenneth Copeland meeting. And he was teaching on the kingdom of God. And that particular subject, it put me in another realm of revelation, understanding the kingdom of God didn't operate the same way that the world system operates. And, you know, if you listen to those tapes and you are in those meetings when he's teaching that, it will upset the apple cart of your life and put you on an entirely different way of seed time harvest, giving and receiving, sowing and reaping. And that's what began to change my life. When he taught us that we had work to do and that we're to be building God's kingdom, winning souls and making disciples and sending them forth. And so we've changed our whole outlook, our church, because of him. Our land is paid off. We're in the process of building, and his teaching, we're in the process of building a new building in Elk Grove, California, that will seat triple of the congregation that we now have. So he's caused us to think out of the box, to think bigger, and continue to exercise our faith no matter what level we're on. I've been married 35 years. I was in an organized religious setting for 16 of those years. But we came into the area of teaching faith, and then it's like being born again. Once we came in contact with Bill Winston Ministries and our FMA members now, and it's really been a blessing in every way. Our marriage is more fruitful, our finances are at a different level, and our relationships with other people have been enhanced because of his teaching. We understand the Word of God is a living force that we can speak out of our mouth and frame our own world and determine where we're going to go in life. So those are just a couple of things that have helped, a few things that have helped us in our life, being a part of Bill Winston Ministries here and being a partner with him and an FMA member.
It has been awesome since we came into the knowledge of Bill Winston Ministry. He has truly been a blessing to us. We've started off under sort of like the Baptist tradition, where we wasn't growing really, because tithes really hadn't been taught, and we was like paying dues and stuff like that. But when we came into the knowledge of paying tithes and seeking the kingdom of God, it just skyrocketed our ministry. Glory to God. It really has been a blessing to us. We've seen the increase in the ministry as well as our personal life. And we just thank God for Bill Winston Ministry. That Kingdom of God series, we found out that we had to switch system from the earth system to the kingdom system, and we've been blessed by that. And this year we find out that we don't have to pay for the things that we have, and it's just awesome. I'm so glad that we're here this year to obtain this information, to get the understanding that we are not supposed to pay for everything, that we're just supposed to use our job as our, how do you put that, as our seed, praise God. We are beginning to look at the finances in the ministry, and we have begun to take our eyes off of the mission and start putting it on the provision. And glory to God, and we got here, and Bill Winston is teaching on how the finances is your seed to take it off of the provision, how God is going to provide for you. And all we got to do is just sow the seed, believe it, and receive it. Praise the Lord.
Just as simple as that. You know, that is absolutely good news. I mean, again, let me show you that scripture. Turn with me, if you will, over to, if you have your Bibles. If you don't, maybe you could look on with somebody. I'm not sure if our ushers are here to assist in some Bibles here. But turn with me over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. Now, I remember when Martin Luther King had his address in Washington that day, and he talked about vision. He says he's been to the mountaintop and he's seen some things. But I think that God gives certain people vision. If you remember Joseph, in his life, God gave him vision. And Joseph saw what was coming. And matter of fact, he saw that there was a great dearth coming. Now, dearth, I had to go look dearth up. You know, I didn't say dirt, I said dearth. And I was down, I know what it means in terms of words and meanings, but I wanted to look it up and make sure. So I did that. Because God gave me that down when we were down in Tulsa, I was going to Bible school. And he said, there's a great dearth coming. And a dearth came in Joseph's time. And what God did is that when he gave me a revelation of the Joseph Business School, or the Joseph Center. Because as you recall, Joseph was one who had a vision from God. And that vision that God gave him, he began to share it with his brothers, and his brothers got jealous about it. And then they wanted to kill him. Well, the truth, I believe, is that Joseph had received the blessing, and that through that, God could use him to bless them. So he was, at this point, he was the best thing that's happened to him, because God was going to use him to bless them. And they got jealous because God was going to use him, or God had given him the vision. And of course, you know, they wanted to kill him. And basically, I think God had to protect him and get him out of there because of the vision that he had. Now, he went on down to Egypt, of course. He was sold as a slave, went on down to Egypt. And down in Egypt, now he worked as a slave for a man named Potiphar. And after that, Potiphar then, house prospered and so forth. And then this temptation by Potiphar's wife, and Joseph ended up being falsely accused and thrown in jail. Now you can see that the enemy is still after this dream, still after this vision, and he's making it hard for Joseph. But if Joseph just stay in love, he'll stay protected. And that's what he was doing. And so he got down there, and of course, God still gave him favor, and he organized a prison. And the guard down there turned, the warden turned everything over to Joseph. Amen. Now you know that's blessed. Right. And next thing that happened is there is a butler, chief butler, and a baker. They worked for Pharaoh that somehow missed something. They offended Pharaoh in some way that he threw him down in jail, in prison. Now they came down there with Joseph. Now Joseph, they had dreams, two dreams, each one of them. And Joseph interpreted their dreams. And in 3 days, they saw that those dreams came to pass. Now they took Joseph, and Joseph said, well, listen, when you get back up there with Pharaoh, tell him I'm down here. Well, he got up there and forgot about Joseph. And you know how folk forget about you when they get somewhere. And so what happened was Joseph was still down there for 2 more years. And then Pharaoh had a dream. And he had a dream about a 7 years of plenty. That it was, he dreamed about 7 fat cows. And then after that, 7 skinny or thin cows. And then he didn't know the answer to that, and his magicians and everybody, they couldn't tell him what the answer was, what the interpretation was. So then he went ahead and somebody said, well, there's a man down there in prison, you know, a Hebrew down there, he can interpret dreams. He said, get him up here. So Joseph came up there and, true enough, interpreted the dream. He said, the 7 fat cows represent 7 years of plenty. But then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And these 7 years of famine are going to wipe out your remembrance of 7 years of plenty. That's how severe this famine's about to be. So when God told me there's a great dearth coming, he began to give me seemingly what is needed for us to avoid being victimized by that dearth. Because he promised us something. In Psalms chapter 37 and verse 19, he says, in the days of famine, you shall be satisfied. See? So I don't care how hard times get. I heard, who was it? Dr. Leroy or somebody, what did he say about money cometh? Frequently and easily. Oh, I'm telling you. I can almost tell you that's the first time he's ever said that, you know, added that on there. So my point to you is that it doesn't make any difference about how hard it gets. We've been redeemed from the curse. See? And Joseph's job was to lead the way in bringing God's people through that storm. That was his job. He was anointed for it. And I don't know what all anointing God's got on my life, but just about all those things that he gave me down there are centered around Joseph. Even to the degree that this water plant that we're about to start down there, bottling water, the overseer and the invention of that is named Joseph. He's a believer. He's a Jewish believer. It's Joseph Bender. Now, this is more than a coincidence, folks. Somewhere your lightning fast mind ought to catch on somewhere. So this, he told me, you're going to raise up businesses or business leaders that even when the famine comes, their businesses are going to continue to increase. Because they're not going to be run on that system that's falling, that's failing. And we have a failing system out there. And I'm not prophesying gloom and doom now, but you can ask just about any economist. Matter of fact, I was reading a book by, part of a book by Kiyosaki and Donald Trump. And what they said, that's their prophetic word. This is one of them prophesied this, I think it was Trump, that the middle class is going to go away. Because all the burden of everything is being put on the middle class. And so it's going to go away. So you're going to have two classes left, rich and poor. Now, I've been rich and I've been poor, and rich is better. Amen. So my point to you is that we need to get ourselves protected. And one of the ways that you get yourself protected is to get off the system of the world and get on the system of the kingdom. And that's what we see here in Luke chapter 6. Let's look at that, please. I had a Kleenex here somewhere. I'm not sure where I had it, but I forgot my handkerchief. Luke chapter 6. Look at verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now, what does that say? A misinterpretation of that will tell you that these people are blessed because they're poor. These people are blessed because they're poor. Now, that is not the interpretation of that at all. It has, because poverty is a curse. Amen. See, and there's no time or no place where poverty was lifted up as some kind of, here it is, thank you. That poverty was lifted up as some kind of something to be proud of. It's a curse. And over in Hyderabad, some of those people out in the streets are dirt poor. They're out there just begging. You stop the car at the red light, they want some money. You know? And poverty will kill you. So Jesus was doing away with poverty. We thank God that we can help the poor, but ultimately we are out here to eradicate poverty. See? And he's telling you, blessed are the poor. Why? Because now they have an ability to tap in to an inheritance that is not tied to the job that they're making minimum wage on. For the first time, they have the ability to tap into that. Okay? And this is what he was talking about in the video. Because now, once you and I get born again, we're born into a kingdom that everything we need is supplied. My time in the military, they didn't bring me in there and say, okay, when I was first commissioned, they said, Lieutenant Winston, now come on in, now we're going to send you to pilot training, but you're going to have to buy your own jet. They didn't say that. They didn't say, you're going to go in the military and, oh, by the way, bring your house with you. No, they supplied my house, supplied my clothes, supplied all my tools, supplied my airplane, supplied everything. Something happened to my teeth. Something happened to my family's teeth. They're right on over there. Specialist, need a specialist? Go over there. No charge. Why? I'm in the Army. I was in the Air Force, but I'm saying the Army of the Lord. And once you get in the Army of the Lord, everything is taken care of. Now, the enemy's job is to try to separate you from that so that you'll try to take care of yourself. To try to make enough money with two overtime, Christmas coming, I need some overtime, some time and a half, let me get this second job at the post office, so forth and so on, so that you can work and try to work it out yourself. And how many family problems have been caused because of money? Man, 90% of them. Now, you know there's some other things down there, but money stirs it up. Somebody, you know, go out and they buy something. Why did you buy that? Well, I didn't have nothing to wear. Well, how much did that cost? Is that, now, here you go. You follow what I'm saying? But if that wasn't the issue, then we can roll with something else. I mean, we can go on with business and have you looking good at the same time. Amen. Now, I want you to see that. And so what I said was the strongest statement that is made is that your job has nothing to do with your prosperity. All right? Now, if you believe it does, then you're going to have to work like that. See? I don't. And what he's doing is he's making sure that the poor don't believe that. See? It's oftentimes the poor, because a person hasn't got much education or something like that, and they take a job making minimum wage, so forth like that, and certain things they just can't afford. They have to, you know, get some cheese with that. But this is a new day. That a person can be working at McDonald's and still have a 7-bedroom home. And it's the first time that was done when Jesus came. The first thing he tried to do with him when he brought him out of slavery in Egypt is he had to bring him out, and he had to show them in the wilderness that Pharaoh was not their source. One of the first things he had to do. And do you know that's still hard for people today is to receive the grace of God? Grace is unmerited what? Favor. It's something you don't have to work for. It's hard, man. You know? And the enemy, he will see the world system. I just feel like talking now. The world system is controlled and manipulated by Satan and those who he has put in charge. Now, we don't hate people. Say, no hate.
No hate.
But so everything he's got is designed to fortify that system. See, they have their own awards. But there are things that you can be awarded for by man that are an abomination to God. See? And then he has his education system. And I heard a man say this, and I hope nobody gets offended when I say it. Because you know you're my partner, I love you. But many times, where we're going and getting our advanced degrees, including our PhD, most of what we just learned is a lie. Now, you try to argue with me and I'll show you most of what we've done, because it's not true. Me? That's the way he keeps his system intact. By teaching you a lie. It doesn't agree with this book. Anything that don't agree with this book is a lie. I don't care which way you cut it. Now you think about that. So what we've been trying to do is we've been trying to bring up universities, we've been trying to bring up things and so forth like that, so that we could manage that whole thing. And people, true enough, they get an education of how to use their skills or something like that, but we got to swing them over now and give them a Bible education. See, because way back when they had our education system that Dave Barton talks about, they taught people right out of the Bible. See? So that's what we do in the Joseph School. We try to take all that fluff, that mess out of it. Say amen to this.
Amen.
And you know, I have to work with my instructors to do that, because they've been educated beyond their intellect. And so we have to work with them, because see, they're still, you know, we still think in terms of something that these people taught us. But most of the folk that taught us don't even know God. And could care less about it. Now, I'm only telling you, I'm trying to get you, you know, once you really see this, you'll begin to see a difference between the world and the church. Because there is a huge difference. But if you don't know any better and you've not been taught the kingdom, then the world still is attractive. And it's designed to do that. I tell people all the time, I say, without revelation, you conform to the world.
Yes, yes.
First time I started teaching these kingdom principles, people said, man, boy, you know what you're doing? You're making me get a real good look at what this world is really like. I said, yeah, that's what it's designed to do. Right? So God is making it so that we can overcome the world. And one of the first things to overcome the world is you're going to have to be able, Satan knows that for you to not bow or not respond to his pressures, you're going to have to get your provisions from another source. He knows that. So one of the biggest things I'm going to teach you, and you'll see me coming out in partner letters, is I'm going to be teaching of how to separate from the world system.
Amen.
And how you can live independent of it. And folks, you can get rich.
Amen.
Matter of fact, you can get rich. I made a statement. You can put it down if you want to, because God gave it to me in England. If he gave it to me in England, he said, what I give you in secret, you shout from the housetops. He said, you can be a millionaire in a month.
Amen.
Now, let me show you something. Because this is what I want to show you. Turn to Luke chapter 4, please. Luke chapter 4. Now, why do people like to come here to this faith conference? One of the reasons why, and you heard him talk about it, is because he said this is the varsity team. This is the varsity team. This is that team that is when you want to see where you stand, you come and play that team. Because we're taking our faith and we're going to stretch it out there.
Amen.
No, yeah, yeah. Look what it says here, because I want to talk a little bit about something here today that God put on my heart. This is Luke chapter 4 now, and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him a book of the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah. And when he had opened a book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What's the acceptable year of the Lord, somebody? Did you believe? What is Jubilee? It's what? Okay, I hear some voices. It's a what? It's debt cancellation. Okay, all right, okay, all right. But what is it according to Leviticus 25? What? Okay, it's the 50th year. Now, what is that 50th year? It's 49, that's 7 times 7. Okay? And that year following that, okay? All right? The year following that, And that year following that is the 50th year. And it's the year when every man will have returned his possessions. Got it? Every man will have returned his possessions. So what was it symbolic of? Because that was in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is a type and shadow of the New Testament. The New Testament is the reality. The Old Testament only points to it. So the New Testament tells you what it really is. Jesus was the Jubilee. And what it says is everyone will be returned their possessions. So what does it say? It says that when a person has lost something, it'll be returned. Got it? So if he lost his health, it'll be returned. So if he lost his money, it'll be returned. If he's lost his dignity, it'll be returned. You see? Now, let's don't stop with that person. Let's go all the way back to the person, Adam. So what did Adam lose? The earth. Now, what's going to be returned? The earth. Now, who is it going to be returned to? Jesus. Wait a minute, Jesus. But where is Jesus? He's seated in heaven. Where is his body? Right here. So it's going to be returned to you, who is the last Adam that the Jubilee is for. So everything that Adam lost, we getting back. And it's going to be manifested through you. Got it? Now, so all of it's been paid for. You don't have to pay for nothing. The blood of Christ paid for it. Paid for you and it. You got paid for it. The Bible says we were bought not with, what were we not bought with? We were not bought with silver and gold, a corruptible thing. We were bought with the blood of Jesus. I'm paraphrasing now, praise God. All right? Now, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath what? Anointed me. Now, come back to Isaiah and chapter 10, please. Isaiah chapter 10. Let me know when you get to Isaiah chapter 10, please. All right. Verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be what? Taken away from off thy shoulder, and his what? Yoke from off thy neck. Keep going. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Is everybody familiar with what a yoke is? What is a yoke? Okay, let's just use an ox, for example. So in the old days, they plow with an ox. So this ox is yoked to this other ox. And usually they have a stronger ox and more experienced ox yoked to a younger ox to train the younger ox. So they have them yoked. So they have the head in this wooden thing, and that wooden thing stretches from one neck to the other. And they go where the master drives. You with me? Yoked. But he said, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now, destroyed is kind of a wrong word to use there, because destroyed means you think somebody cut the yoke off. No, that's not what destroyed means. It means to corrode. If you've got some metal or something like that and you leave it out in the rain and the rain, sunshine, so forth like that, one of the things that happens to it is it corrodes. It oxidizes or something, and it just goes up. I mean, one of the things that flying airplanes. If you're going to sell an airplane, a private jet, they do something called a pre-buy inspection. And they take this scope and they go and put it all in the wing, and they look down these rivets and all of that, and they're looking for one thing. What? corrosion, rust. Why? Because those rivets could corrode, and if they're corroded, they'll snap. And when they snap, something else gonna snap. So when you've got a corroded airplane, they will usually mothball it. It's done. It's done. Why? Because you can't fix that. That's done. Some folk be trying to fix corroded cars. Trying to save it. Now, I know you can restore a car, but they take a whole lot of, they take some stuff and replace some stuff. But corrosion, why? Because it's done. It ain't coming back. And I'm just saying that the yoke shall be destroyed. That is not coming back on you. That the anointing is designed to remove it and corrode it. That it cannot reform back in your life. And this yoke has been placed there by the enemy, and it's in the spirit so that you can't get to it. But Jesus can get to it. The anointing of God can go in and find the corrosion. Are y'all following what I'm saying here? Then he goes on down. He says in Isaiah 11, look at that, please. In Isaiah 11, he says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and of the," what? "Of the fear of the Lord." Now, one of the things that people have to remember is that the anointing is not something just in church. When I say that, I mean it just doesn't take place in the church service. Oh, that preacher, boy, he really is anointed. Hey. God is making it so here that the physician can be anointed. That the secretary can be anointed. Come on now. That the housewife can be anointed. See, this is how far that anointing, because that anointing is something that is not going to just be on one person in the body of Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. So what is happening is the anointing is going to be on all the body. Yes, sir. Now, if you will, turn with me to Psalms, please, and chapter 133. Psalms 133. Now, I'm going to show you why I'm teaching this in just a minute. Psalms 133. Look what it says in Psalm 133, and look at verse 1. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together," how? "In unity. It is like the precious," what? "Ointment." So one of the words for anointing is oil, ointment. How many of you have ever had something that you have to put on a little oil and rub it in? Come on now. Your body, huh? Amen. Okay, but that's what the anointing is. It's something that comes on that body, see? And it's an oil, but it's in the spirit. And so now he is talking here about how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity, talking about the body of Christ, that it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even whose beard? Aaron's beard. Okay, Aaron was a priest, high priest, that went down to the skirts of his garment. And the as the dew of who? Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the what? Blessing, even life forevermore. The blessing. So notice it's talking about unity here and talking about the anointing flowing in a unified body. that when people come together in unity, that's when you'll see that anointing really flow and remove burdens and destroy yokes. Are y'all with me here? So let's see how many people that he's putting this anointing on. Turn to the book of Joel, please. Joel, J-O-E-L, praise the Lord. Joel, and Joel chapter 2. Now, if you look in the table of contents, if you take some time to get there, because I ain't got time to get there. Joel chapter 2. Let me know when you get there. All right, you're there, right? Ooh, this is all good. Look at verse 23, Joel chapter 2. Be glad then, you children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down to you, down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. In other words, you're going to get them both together. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and what? Oil. And I will what? Restore to you the years that the who has eaten, locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you, and you shall eat how much? Plenty, and shall be what? Satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my what? Spirit, where? Upon how much flesh? All flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. So I don't care what kind of job you get, you're going to be anointed. And you're going to be anointed to do things at a level that the world cannot do them. One of the things you can put down as I have called the anointing, it is the performance enhancer. It is the super on your natural. So some of y'all need a little soup on your natural this morning, don't you? So now, the reason why I'm bringing that up is because the days that we've got coming ahead, and people are going to be relying on their own intellect alone, and that's not going to be enough. The anointing is going to be absolutely necessary. Because that is what's going to take you through. The anointing will remove burdens. The anointing will destroy yokes. The anointing will cause things to happen in your life. As a matter of fact, if you want to see what the anointing will do for you, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10, please. And let's just look very quickly at what the anointing will do for you, just in a capsule form here. 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Now, I'm still talking about partnership, and I'm going to pull it together here in just a minute. Hallelujah. Let me know when you get there. Verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, poured it upon Saul's head. And he kissed him, and he said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you to become captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zilzah. And they will say unto thee, the asses or donkeys which thou hast wentest to seek are what? Found. Somebody put restoration. Put it in your Bible. Restoration. Put it on your sheet. Verse 3. Then shall thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor. And there shall meet three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. Somebody put supernatural progress. Lord Jesus. Now, when I say supernatural progress, I am not talking about just making a little progress, for yourself. I put some things down here, glory to God. I'm talking about a millionaire in a month. You know, I'm talking about the 1,000 times more anointing. I'm talking about what it would take 1,000 days to do, you can do in one day. What it would take 1,000 people to do, you can do with one person. I'm saying what it would take, if you're making minimum wage, multiply it times 1,000. Now, don't be looking at me trying to figure out how all this is going to happen. What the anointing will take you up to another category, folks. It'll take you up to a category where we need to be right now. I mean, the church has the anointing. We're supposed to be walking around here with an anointing on our lives that we have wisdom that other people don't have. Come on now, we can solve problems other people can't solve. I mean, you've got a wicked system out here. Now let me just give you these two and let me just show you something else. Look at verse 4. And they will salute you and give you 2 loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. Somebody put favor. You're going to get things given to you that you didn't even know the people, and you're going to have favor with them. Because favor brings you into supernatural increase, restoration, honor, increased assets, greater victories, recognition, prominence, preferential treatment, petitions granted, policies and rules changed, and battles won which you didn't have to fight. That's favor. And look at verse 5. And that thou shalt come into the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come hither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and with a tabret and with pipe and a harp before them. And they shall what? Prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be what? Turned into a who? Turned into another man. In other words, you're going to be transformed in terms of what you can do and what you've been used or accustomed to doing in your life. You can turn into another person. Lord, have mercy. All right. Now, look at Daniel. Look at Daniel now. I want you to see this. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3 real quick. Daniel chapter 3. Now, he told me to teach you on this. He said, share the anointing with him. Share the anointing because you are anointed. Say, I'm anointed. If you're in the body of Christ, Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. Where is Jesus? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. The anointing comes on the head first and it runs down the garment. We are the garment. We are the body of Christ. The anointing from the head, the same anointing that's on Jesus. The anointing of wisdom, the anointing of revelation, the anointing for knowledge, the spirit of might, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. All those anointings are on us right now, and they're running down us right now. Now, what we have to do is connect up with those anointings. And the anointing connector is faith. That we have to have faith in that anointing so that anointing will work in our lives. See, when the anointing is on you, everything that's discomforting you has got to get off. When the anointing is on you, I'm telling you, folks. All right, look what it says here. Now, this is Daniel. This is Daniel now. Now, watch what happened to Daniel. Now, I wrote this up somewhere. Let me see. Glory to God. Just a minute. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Daniel. Praise God. Daniel. Hallelujah. Show yourself Daniel. Glory to God. Daniel. Hallelujah. Now, I can go in here and dig it out, but I just thought I wrote it down here. I know I wrote it down here. And the devil is a lie. Get off my paper. Praise God. All right, let me just show you this. Daniel chapter 3. All right, look what it says here in Daniel chapter 3. And let's look at verse 8. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. And they make and said to the king of Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, has made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Now, who made this decree? The king made this decree. Now, is this a godly law? Nope. I'm prophesying now. I'm prophesying that the devil's going to start moving so that he's going to try to start making some ungodly laws. And I think he's made some already. Because it is ungodly. God didn't make a law that tells you to take Bibles out of the schools. God didn't make that law. But because the Christians didn't know any better, we just kind of let the land go along with it. But I'm telling you, those days are coming to an end. That, see, we're not going to stand by and watch injustice being done in the lives of people. We're going to stand up for something. Amen. And look what it said in verse 11. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of the fire, burning fiery furnace. Now, how many of you know Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego refused to bow down? All right, so he threw them in there. But look at verse 25. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire, and the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his who? Angel, and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed, come on, the king's word. That's what I want you to get right there. By you standing for injustice, it's going to change the law. It's going to change the law. But let me tell you, folks, they look like they were standing alone. But were they alone?
No, sir.
Who was in the fire with them? Lord, have mercy. Now, I don't need to go to the other one. You can go to Daniel chapter 6, and you look, they pull the same thing on Daniel chapter 6. But notice what Daniel chapter 6 did. Daniel changed the king's laws. You can change the Supreme Court laws. Yes, you can. Now, I'm saying we got to tap into this anointing. This anointing that we've got coming on us, it's one of the things that it's for, is to provide a equipment for us to live a quality of life that is far above anything that is in the natural three-dimensional world or that the natural man can experience. That's one of the reasons for the anointing. Another reason for the anointing is to advance the kingdom of God. It's to advance the kingdom of God. You'll take the ruined, decayed places and you'll make them like the Garden of Eden. A third reason for the anointing is to take over rulership of the world. It's to manage this entire world system. You need an anointing to do that. And people are trying to manage this world without an anointing. And you cannot do it. It's too complex and it's too highly developed. So what we need, God is about to raise up his people in these last days. Now, here's the thing about that anointing. Lord, have mercy. Let me show you this. Turn to Exodus, please, and Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Come on, say, I'm anointed. He's poured out his spirit on all flesh. Amen. He's anointed you for this hour. This hour right here that some ungodly laws are being made, he's anointed you for it. Amen. And he's anointed you to manage the wealth that's about to come into your life. Come on. Because next year, this time, from this group, we're going to have some millionaires that we didn't have in here before. I spoke it. All right, this is children of Israel. They come out of Egypt now. Now, understand, in Egypt, they were slaves. They were out there just, you know, trading dollars for hours, just out there just slaving. Now, look what it says here, verse 4 of 35. Have you got it? Say, praise the Lord, somebody. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord communicated, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whoa. I mean, that is a good scripture, but that ain't the one I wanted. Hold on. I turned you to the wrong way. Praise the Lord. Okay. Turn to 29, Exodus 29, please. Let's go all the way to Exodus 31. Let's go to Exodus 31. That was a good one, though.